is on and off. Or?
Well, it is a but he may come down.
You know that?
Yeah, but there's someone tied to a vehicle.
Are they set down?
What's that?
Another building to come.
Yeah.
They have
like,
every single form that is by itself, or is this a very unusual form?
Uh-huh.
They have several scripture references. It's just
that's the ones that were at the bottom, at the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And or if it just happens once that they have a future reference. It is an interesting and important fact that this collection of citation constitutes a concordance of more than 3/4 of the forms of the language. And 3/4 of the forms that are here in this book are just used once for the rest of them.
That's kind of disheartening, isn't it?
Yeah, I know,
that's encouraging, because we can understand
a lot more than we can get a good flow of what's happening.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, it is disheartening in the sense that, you're understanding. Well, that's good, that's one way to take it. Yeah.
Reports is just a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Yes, Peter.
I had a question for the test.
Okay.
When I was going through lesson 54, on page 272, the answer starts with CDC. But he's going through and making this point on certain stem vowels. And then he says, read carefully through the form table to make sure the point is clear. And I didn't see any examples of these points. I'm wondering where I'm missing that.
What, page 272, you said?
Yeah, it actually starts on 271. Mm-hmm. It says, including verb, and he goes on.
Mm-hmm.
When the stem vowel is from a O or an E, this introduction takes place in the same paradigm. But I can't find what he's talking about, though. He says, Ishmaru.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think he's talking about the fact that your form for the third person, let's say he will observe, would be Yishmor. Yishmor would be a normal form. Now, when you add the suffixes on, in your normal imperfect pattern, for example, if it's Yishmaru, if you have another suffix, a suffix in addition to the prefix for your imperfect form, then the cholam shortens to shawa. It's Yishmaru, it's not Yishmoru. And the same kind of reduction happens when you're putting on these pronominal suffixes for objects, that the cholam went down to a shawa. So, see, what was Yishmor becomes Yishmoreni, he will observe me. It's not Yishmoreni, as if you just added the suffix on without any shortening, but the cholam shortened down to a shwa, just like it did in some of the other imperfect forms in the normal paradigm when you had a suffix on the imperfect form.
Okay.
See, in other words, just like Yishmaru has a suffix on it, and therefore what the dictionary form is, the Yishmor form, the cholam in the thing shortened to a shwa. So it happens when you put the pronominal suffix on, and that also shortens it.
Now, so going to the paradigm,
mm-hmm.
The first line, the second column in, Yishmaru.
Yes.
That was Yishmor. No, nothing changed there. Wasn't Yishmaru, and then you did that in Yishmaru.
Yeah, and that one is already shortened, so there's no need for additional shortening.
Well, are there any examples where what you mentioned happened?
Well, almost all of your cases where you had the third person form, third person singular form, Yishmor. All of those would. So you've got, if you look at the first column and the second column of the on the first line,
yeah.
Yishmor, and then you get Yishmoreni. You see that column over the name shortened to Shawa, Yishmoreni, not Yishmoreni, but Yishmoreni. Okay, got it now. No, that's no problem. Want to get a little thing like that can be real troublesome if you don't understand it, or see what he's getting at there. Then even if you knew what the forms did, you'd always be troubled by what that statement was. Okay, any other clarifications that are needed for tomorrow's trial and tribulation? Okay. Yeah, it is. The rest of the quizzes will be just translation. Yeah, right. That's been a lot of chapters, 55 chapters.
Well,
lot test.
Mm-hmm. You figure we've had every four chapters we've had a vocab quiz and
28
steps. He knows them all by heart. Okay. Did you have another question, Peter?
No, I think I was going to ask about the imperatives, but it makes sense.
Okay. Okay. Good. Well, let's go back to Genesis then, in chapter 2, and verse 9, I think it was. Well, what was my marker say? 7?
7.
7. Yeah, did you get to translate? I thought you just...
I didn't translate. I'll read it again.
Okay.
A chance to figure out what it is.
All right.
Why is there Yahweh Elohim et Adam Afar Min Adama Wahid Yipak Ba'apau Ba'apau Mishmat Chayim Wahi Adam Lenefesh Chaya.
Okay.
And Yahweh Elohim formed the man.
Mm-hmm. Afar is dust.
Afar is dust. Mm-hmm. That's right. Looked at it once before. It's really difficult.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting construction here.
It's almost like it should be a construct.
Almost, yeah.
But it can't really be.
No, because you'd have the article and the thing in absolute.
He formed the man.
You might just
dust from the earth.
Yeah, dust from the ground. Yeah, he formed the man, dust from the ground.
Almost in apposition.
Apposition, yeah. That's probably the best way to translate it, too. He formed the man, dust from the ground.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Identify the man as being dust from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what's that?
A dusty one
from the ground. See, that translation though does open up some possibilities here. Of course, King James translates that he formed man of the dust of the ground, something like that, out of the dust of the ground. But the Hebrew just says he formed man dust of the ground. Which is, it's possible to conclude there. You still got the direct comparison between man and dust of the ground, but it doesn't necessarily demand that man was formed out of the dust of the ground, but that he formed man dust of the ground. In other words, you could take that figuratively as a description of what man was. Now, it's probably, I'm really talking about the fact that that man was made of the earth, but it's kind of interesting.
It's also interesting they use men instead of just using a
construct relationship.
The construct would seem to get the same idea across, but it must be somehow it's more impacting, more clear, more definitive.
Certainly more emphatic.
Yeah,
right.
Anyway.
Okay.
Why you talk?
I'm not sure on that one either. I would guess it's a three hay, but I didn't look it up. But it means to blew or breathed.
Oh. Okay.
Looks like an apocopated form, so my guess is it's three hay, but it could be one nun also, because there's a dogation in the pay there. It might be nafach. So my first two guesses would be to check under yafach or pacha. Probably yafach first because of that.
It is nafach.
Nafach, yeah. Okay. And what do they give for the meaning? Breathe and blow, both, or just...
Blow, breathe, and breathe.
Okay.
Blow, fire.
Okay.
So he breathed into his nose. I guess it's plural, really. So his noses or nostrils.
Right, into his nostrils, yeah. Into his noses. This is a noun. Well, no, it's not from the same root. They translated breath here. It would be in construct, breath of life. So nishma would be your noun.
So it's breath.
That's what they give in the interlinear.
Breath of life.
And
it was
Yeah, you take the man as the subject of the verb.
Yeah, okay, then. He possessed a living soul.
Okay, it's either that.
Him.
Yeah. Remember the
soul of life.
Okay. Okay.
There's a possessive idea.
Yeah, he was. Well, yeah, there may be a possessive idea in some. You know, you've got kind of an option here, I suppose. But contextually, see, there's another idiom that is used with haya plus le as the idea of become, to be to,
become,
to be to something.
Was there a distinction in the form of that, or was it just that you had to recognize it as one of the idiomatic?
Yeah, I think you'd have to recognize it as idiomatic, and I think the problem with the possession here is that there was to him something, and if you take it possessive, it'd be the living soul possessing the man. The man was to a living soul. In other words, you'd have to have the soul possessing the man here, and so semantically that doesn't make much sense. So I think that pretty well clarifies that you want to take it as, and he became a living soul, or he was to a living soul. In other words, he approached the state of the living soul. Okay? This is why I contend that in Genesis 1 there, we talked about the earth 1-2, there was, the earth was without form and void, that if you wanted to say became, like many argue, you would use this idiom. You'd use hyoplos, a preposition. Okay, any other questions or observations there? Did you look up another one there, Eric?
Oh,
Nishma.
Okay. The feminine, or Nishma, breath, life, mind, spirit, anger.
Do they give you the root verb from which it's derived?
Nasham, to breathe.
Nasham, okay. Looks like they've got lots of verbs for breathing as well as for... You got ruach, you know, and for breath and spirit and so forth. And it's interesting to do a comparative word study on some of those. Okay, verse 8. Tony, you want to try? Sorry,
I
did that.
So I got verse 9.
Huh?
I did 9.
Oh, you did 9? Are you willing to do 8, Eric? Okay.
Vanita. Yahweh Elohim gam b'ezen 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 b'ezen
b'ezen b'ezen b'ezen b'ezen b'ezen
b'ezen
b'ezen.
Yahweh God planted also in Eden from the east.
Okay, the gun is garden. And he had gum for gun. I think he said also.
Oh, yeah.
Gun is garden. He planted a garden in Eden.
Oh, he planted also a garden in Eden from the east.
Mm-hmm.
And he put there the man which before.
Yes, good.
Yes.
Okay, God and Yahweh God planted a garden in Eden from the east, to the east, or it's actually Min there, Mekedem, from the east, and put there the man whom he had formed. Okay. The had formed is interesting because we're translating pluperfect. Even though, of course, it's a perfect form in Hebrew. But it shows you the range of the Hebrew there. You have the reason we get perfect, pluperfect, is because of context. We knowing the fact that he had formed him at the time that he placed him, and it was all past tense. Okay. Excuse me. Verse 9, Tony.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The
gmail.com or at
Chaim. Desirable to the sight, pleasant to the sight.
And good to eat.
Good to eat or good for food.
Now, second word.
Chaim.
Yeah.
Okay, Chaim is life. Even though it's a plural form, that's their noun for life. And that's the absolute for the construct, eighth. Right, and tree of life. You might supply the verb. Yeah. Well, it'd be the tree of life because you have the article in Chaim. Remember, in your construct relationship, the article's in the last one. So the tree of life, and you might supply was here because it's a predication. Right.
And plaster is a little odd. I don't have the last word, but tree of the knowledge.
And evil. Well, ra. Ra. Remember ra?
Yeah, evil? I couldn't figure out why it was la.
Oh, okay. That's just because it can't take. The resh can't take the dagesh for the doubling. It's a compensatory length thing. Remember, resh is peculiar in that respect. It's like, it acts like a guttural in that respect only. Okay. Well, let's see. Now, wait a minute. I'm thinking back on that while Ra, that wouldn't be a problem anyway, because with the conjunction, you probably don't have that problem. Yeah, some of the monosyllabic ones just take that an exception. I was thinking that pause relationship, too, but that wouldn't really do it in itself. Yeah, that was it. That was the one. Yeah, at the end of a word, monosyllabic nouns or something sometimes take that. There was a note I gave you, and maybe it wasn't even at the end of a sentence. Some of these monosyllabic ones did that. And we saw it even at the beginning, a few like har and so forth that took. Okay. Oh, okay. From Kamad? Okay. Nifal participle, interesting.
The desire to go like the simple and
the best. Okay, so this is Nifal would be the passive idea, so that which is desired, and so that which is pleasant. Makes sense. Good. Okay, any other questions there? Pretty good. So Yahweh made spring from the ground every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, and verse 10, we're back to Doug, I guess. Yeah, it starts with, the yod is your 10.
went on the other day, met Dave, Jeff, met Edgar, the house, the cold, Jeff, hard down,
That's a Hurric. You probably can't read it where. And here's my, I've got a Hurric and Snaith here.
Yeah.
My copy.
There's my little
background
on it. Okay. Blue
Michon. Mm-hmm.
And
I guess
Hippare.
Mm-hmm. First words.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since we've seen it.
A river went forth.
Mm-hmm. Not just from Eden. May Eden. May Eden. From Eden. We had this verb yesterday, I think. Yeah, well, it's kind of the opposite end, to water, to give to drink, to cause to, you know, to water the garden. So I think it's kind of causing the garden to drink, you know, it's kind of the idea.
Cause to drink
the garden.
And from there.
Yes, right, and from there. To divide, pares. Yipare, and from there it was divided. Here's that same idiom again, Haya with Le. I might say it was divided in. Oh, yeah, and then there's a number there. Right, and it became four heads, you might say, or it was into four heads. In other words, it was from there it was divided and was into four heads, or became four heads. And the heads means rivers, you know, heads of streams, you know. So tributaries or something. Okay, and a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it was divided and became four heads, or came into four heads. Okay, any questions there? Check that verb for divided if somebody wants to look it up. Yuparev.
Is that present?
Is it just parad?
Parad, yes.
Okay.
Is that present? Nifal. Is that present? Divided.
Okay.
Is that present?
So we've got a Nifal form here. It looks like an imperfect, though, and this is the question I'm raising, is why an imperfect form here? We don't have a series being formed. And so it must be a modal sense or something. It's not a converted form. And then we continue with Wihaya, a perfect form following it. Look, and it apparently is not converted.
That's done.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's either continual or modal or something like that.
Future.
Yeah.
Departing.
Yeah. So future is equivalent to imperfect. That's what they're terming there. So I'm just trying to think about what sense, you know, there, and there it would divide, maybe something like that. Either there it would divide and became, you know, it's almost as though, and there it divides and became, you know, it's almost as though you're, for a moment at least, you're kind of flowing along the river with the river, and then you're seeing it split, and here it divides, and it became four heads, you know. So I think it's kind of curious. It's a,
becomes, you could say becomes.
Yeah, and from there it becomes, yeah, you could consider that a converted perfect, that wuhaya. Having started with this, you can take it all modal.
I can be. Didn't we have the perfect? It could also be a continuing idea.
Oh yeah, that's no problem.
So it's becoming.
You'd probably be more likely though. See, otherwise you'll get a disjunction or get some, you know, kind of competition between the two forms. I think. Probably be the best to take it. If you're going to take it modal, so you're starting with an imperfect, and then the very next thing is a verb, and it's with conjunction wu. That's your normal key for a narrative, as it were, or a continuation in the series. So if we can take it imperfect, you know, and here's how you translate it. The river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes into four heads. You know? And that's not unusual. It's not an unusual type of construction. Okay.
You would think that, maybe you can explain why. If it divides, why would they put the wahaya in there anyway? It divides to four heads.
Yeah. Well, it may just be that they didn't use the verb that way, you know, the way that we do. There shouldn't be any problem with that. Or you just want to put, you know, have some more emphasis in terms of the progression of it. In other words, you could say it divides into four heads. But to say it divides and becomes into four heads would get a more of a contiguous flow, you know. Since you're talking about a river, it flows, and it comes into four heads, you know. It's kind of more of a progressive aspect to it that carries you along with the idea a little bit more. So that could be the only necessary justification for it being worded that way. Okay. Verse 11, Peter. Okay.
The name of the one is Hashon. It causes to surround, or it is a stiffle, is that?
Yes, they give it as surrounding here. Give it as a participle. Hasovev, they're probably considering that an article then. An article on the participle making a substantive.
That's why you get the
So it is the one. It is the one surrounding. So consider that a participle with an article on it.
Okay, it is the one surrounding all the land of the Chavila.
Yeah, the land of Havilah, the land of Havilah, they translate it.
Which there is Zahav.
Gold. Zahav is gold, yeah. Yeah, where there is gold. So this is that resumptive pronoun there. In the land of Havilah, which there is gold in it. Well, no, I guess they didn't even put the pronoun there. There, where gold is there, you know, where there is gold, so we would say it.
That is
called Martin. Okay. Yeah, no problem. Sometimes these things that are so normal seem so. After you've had hip heels and everything, there was a time when you'd look at that and you wouldn't have any other options. You know, you wouldn't be confused. But now we've got so many things to think about. Much knowledge has made us mad, you know. Okay. Verse 12, Price.
Hahi.
Yeah, that's an older form apparently. Yeah, Hahu or something. Yeah, you probably call it Hahu. If the means the same as Hahi, though.
Tov Shan Habetilla Wa Evin Hash Hasa Ha Hasho 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 Ha.
Yes, yeah, Hasho Ha. Well, let's see. Let's take a look at it. Yeah, you could. Well, it has to be Hashoam, yeah, because the first dot has to be the sheen dot because you already have a vowel point on the hay, so it can't be a colon. In other words, sometimes that decision is this a samek with a colon following it, or is it a sheen? You know, a sheen with a colon following it, or is it a scene? Excuse me. Is it a scene that's got another vowel before it, but it won't work that way. So it's got to be Hashoam. Hashoam. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you get many more dots on. But the most dots you can get, I think, is the five with the chatef, the goal.
So you can have a dagation there, though.
Yeah, right. You could get a dagation, something with chatef, the goal.
You could have one more.
Oh. That's perfect. Yeah, perfect number. That's right. Have a sheen with a dagesh in it and a katas pagol underneath. Take you 5 minutes to write it. Okay. Translation?
The gold in the land is good.
Okay.
There's also habadullah and some kind of stone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the gold of that land is good. Hahi would be a demonstrative in this case, since it's attributive to that noun. So, and Eretz is feminine, so of course it has to be feminine. And the gold of the land is good, and it says there is the sham, you know, there, and then you have to supply the verb is, and they give it bedelium here. Habidullah looks like it's almost a transliteration. Yeah, habidulach, and stone, the onyx, you know, onyx stone. So we have Evan is in construct with Ashoham, and that they give the translation at least of as the stone of onyx stone. Now what bedulach is, they give bedelium resin gum here interlinear. See what they give in their translation.
When I first saw it, I thought it was better than that. I thought
it was
shit.
Yeah, bedelium gum. Yeah. So, anytime you get to these stones or materials and so forth, since we don't really have a direct contact with their society, it gets to be difficult to identify them.
Is it a transparent gum? There is a silver
lattice in both of. Like pearls, kind of a pearlescent, transparent stuff.
Something like gold. There was the gold.
That word is to describe the manna. It says in one place in Numbers that the manna was like bedelium, too. It's probably the same word. I wonder what the idea of separation there was, unless it means, if it's like in pearls, you kind of get a swirls of, you know, color. You know, I mean words. I'm not sure what their idea there was. Okay. Verse 13. Some of these questions we'll never know the answers to. Back to John, I guess.
Ushim Anahar Asheni Ihon Hu Hasobe Etko Eretz Hush. And the name of the river, the name of the second river, is Gihon. Anyway, it is the one surrounding.
Yes.
All the land of Cush.
Yes, it is the one surrounding all the land of Cush. Same construction there with the participle. And so they there. And looks like we've got a lengthened form there with the Huang Wao. That's probably due more to meter and stuff than anything.
Yeah, it's
good. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, why here? Because especially if it's in the previous verse, it doesn't have. Okay, and then for verse 14, Tony.
Washem Hanahar Hashemishi.
Mm-hmm.
Kidekel.
Mm-hmm.
Who Paholek.
Mm-hmm.
Kidema. Asur Wahanahar Haradigi. Who Parat.
Okay. Hiddekel. I guess that's equivalent to the Tigris, most say, but. Okay. Hiddekel. And, okay, go ahead then.
Okay.
Who means he? Yeah. Who means he? And he means she.
That's what I thought. Hmm. Then what I've got here is.
But it's referring to the river, so you probably want to translate it yet.
It walked eastward.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, it is the one walking eastward. Walking east, east of Assyria. East of Assyria. It's the one going or walking east of Assyria. So the idea is it's going where rivers would be flowing. So it's the one flowing east of Assyria. Yeah. That's why they say the word halak means to walk or to go. Because some things go that don't walk. Okay. So, yeah, the river's flowing or, you know, running east of Assyria. Okay, and the last part?
Can the river ford?
Mm-hmm. It's just the name of it. It is, Parath is the same as Euphrates, I guess. That's what it's equivalent to. In other words, that's the Hebrew for Euphrates. So Parath, okay? Most of the translations translate that as Euphrates just because the same Hebrew word is used later for what we know as the Euphrates. Okay, verse 15. Okay. Verse 15, notice the number 15 there, the Tov Wow. We talked about that before. And is the reason, you know, that normally for their teens they used Yod something, but because this would have been Yod Hey, they don't want to use that. So to get 15, Yod would be 10 and Hey is 5, so Yod Hey would have been, but that's the tetragrammaton, you know, I mean, that's an abbreviation for it, so they went to Tau. Wow.
That's why they have a 10 in his book, because you have a Yod instead. That indicates
the 10. Yeah. That's the way Snaith is here, too. Every fifth verse, they put it in Hebrew. Okay, go ahead, Eric, verse 15.
When you come, you know what, looking at down, but in the food, down in them, the Abuda, Ulish, Ulu, Shamara.
Gun? I'm not sure. Usually they're masculine, but if we've got a feminine pronoun on this, it might be.
And the Yahweh, the Lord,
I don't think it's masculine.
The God took the man and put him.
Yeah, that's what they give here, is put him.
Put him in the Garden of Eden to
serve
it or to tell it and to watch it.
Okay. Yeah, to till it and to keep it or to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and Yahweh God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. There's your pronominal suffix, ehu, on there. You put him. So, this is either probably naka or yanak or nanak for the verb.
Common,
okay. So it goes both ways. Sometimes used with feminine, sometimes with masculine. So that's why you've got the feminine ending referring back to it here. Okay, verse 16, Doug. Okay, go ahead. Those are both infinitives with the preposition lamas and joined together. In other words, he put him in the garden to keep it, to till it, referring back to the garden now. The kamase ending is referring back to the garden, to keep her, you know. Oh, I see. That's what happened. He had different words. Okay, that will always make a difference. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, you were working on a different page, yeah? Okay. No, you can go ahead and take a stab at it and see what you think.
Okay.
Come up with.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would make a lot of difference. It's from Tawa to command. So it's commanded. This is a defective form of an infinitive absolute. Akol Tokeo. Remember the infinitive eating you shall eat, yeah. For all the trees of the garden, eating you shall eat, or you shall surely eat. May certainly or surely eat. Okay, and then verse 17 gets the antithesis. Peter. On the day or in the day. Well, on the day, I guess there's no article in it, so.
On a day, you eat from it,
mm-hmm.
dying you will die.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on the day you eat from it, dying you will die.
But surely you will die.
Yeah, surely you will die. Okay, move to move. All right. There's really something more, you know, we can say surely you will die or something like that, but it's so weak compared to what the Hebrew expression is. You know, you really feel that, muth ta muth, you know, it's really graphic. So I still like surely, you know, dying you will die. But, of course, you know, accept the other translation too. Okay, verse 8, questions?
Yeah,
notice on verse 15, that word, Wayad Nechelu, it comes from Nuke.
Hmm.
Nun,
Nuke, okay, it's a hollow verb then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one we hadn't had before. We've had a lot of verbs for put, too.
To rest or to have rest or to repose.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's from the same root that Noah comes from. So it's to set down to rest.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a different connotation. When he put the man in the garden, he just didn't plunk him down there. He set him down to rest.
Right.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
so
real good.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
About what the words are there about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. Please.
Yes.
And I heard the pastor say that they are standing together there. And even the Hebrew clause, so if I remember right, would signify that they stand close together.
Oh, that the two trees were standing close to each other?
Yeah.
Is that what they're suggesting?
Like in verse 10. And the tree of knowledge, the tree of life in the midst of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And the tree of knowledge of the tree of knowledge.
Okay.
That could be a major point
of that. Well, I think the only point they could make possibly would be that the phrase in the midst of the garden qualifies both the following statements. Maybe they're concluding then that they must be close to each other if they're both in the midst of the garden.
But in the midst, does it mean directly in the center?
No, not necessarily at all. It's a range. And there is kind of an abruptness. The tree of life. Oh, I see what they're saying. Yeah, and the tree of the life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and implying, you know, just the way they worded that, and implying that that's also in the midst of the garden. Okay, I think that's what they're saying. They're both in the midst of the garden. And I think that's fair. That's a fair deduction. The question then would be, how big is the midst? Yeah.
How big was the garden?
How big was the garden? How big was the midst of it?
Okay.
And if you're thinking of a little garden plot in your backyard, then the midst of the garden wouldn't be a very big area, you know? But if you're thinking of a big, you know,
and
vast area, acres.
Out in the forest,
so mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But I see what they're saying as far as the wording is set up, you know, the tree of life in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, almost implying in the midst of being in the garden also. Oh, I suppose some might try to conclude that. I don't know. Just maybe if they had the idea that something bad couldn't be there, it was something good, but didn't say it was bad. It was just the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, no, I don't think you can conclude that from this. That would depend on how you esteem how the big garden, the garden was, and how big the midst is. No, I don't think it does. Proximity idea just comes from the concept of the person who's thinking about the garden, you know. So, I mean, we could say in the midst of the parking lot, you know, and I mean, that could be considered quite a range, or in the midst of Seattle, you know, or in the midst of the United States. It doesn't necessarily mean they're both in the exact same spot or adjacent to one another, but I see why they're saying that. Okay. Has the bell rung yet?
No.
Oh, it's going to ring any second. Yeah. Verse 18. We'll stop that. Who's up next? Who just went? Yeah. Oh, Christ hasn't been. Okay.
That's right.
We'll remember him. But we'll have to remember him next Tuesday, because tomorrow you need all the time for the test. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, we're gonna see. Oh, well, I know what I did. We were just jumping down. Yeah.
Sure. Yesterday,
you missed which Greek? Oh, the rule book. Okay. So you were here though?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a little bit. Of Well, no, just put it back. I'll mark it back myself.